We are excited to step into this next series where new reshapes our cultural values. I got to be honest with you. We are excited about this series because we believe it's coming at a really great timing in your life and in the life of our church and in the life of where everybody's at around the world. I want to share with you that this series is going to be new to us. It's fresh to us, and yet God was way ahead of us in this conversation. Last year, we were asking God, where do you want to lead? Where do you want to go? What's going on? And we sat back and we said, man, the book of John may really help us understand the newness that Jesus wants for all people. And so we were going through the book of John and we came across some things that said, man, Jesus seemed to have some values that he lived out of. They changed the way he interacted with people. And we said, you know, we're going to put this in a calendar and we're going to preach through this. And we were planning this and God knew exactly last year when we were putting this stuff together, he knew where you'd be sitting. He knew where I would be sitting. He knew that we wouldn't be gathering together in a building for church. He knew that we would be in our homes and in other places. And he knew that our values were going to be tested. And so I think it's the right timing to lean in and say, God, if you knew all of that, we ought to listen. We ought to lean in and trust that you want to reshape our values. You see, we all have those values. Subconsciously, consciously, the environments that we grew up in, they handed us a set of values. Things that we live out of. In split-second decisions, we don't have time to study what we should do, what we're going to do. You and I make split-second decisions, at least split-hour decisions, out of somewhere. Somewhere deep in our being that has been being fostered or not touched for a long, long time. They come from somewhere, a set of values. And so we might want to look at those values and say, what could God do to reshape them? Who's given the ultimate voice in our values? Ashley Wooldridge says this about values, and I think it's very helpful. He says, in uncertain times, don't lead from your gut. Lead from your values. The question is, what values are guiding you during this time? Everyone should answer that question. You got to understand that these values come from somewhere. And we live in uncertain times. And we shouldn't be living out of our gut. We should be living out of the values that Jesus lived out of. I might disagree with Ashley a little bit that it shouldn't take a time of crisis to call us to lead out of our values. And yet I would agree with him on this, that certainly in a time of crisis, we should caution ourselves in leading from the gut, but definitely lean in to our values. And so in this series, we're not going to cover all the values, certainly, that the Gospel of John covers, but we're going to highlight four things that we think would be really helpful in leaning in to understanding and living out of some things that will help us foster a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as foster a relationship with each other. So we're going to look at these set of values. The reality is that we need to be engaged rather than passive. And we're going to look at that this week. And next week, Chuck's going to be sharing about this value of always having a posture of learning rather than a posture of being arrogant. And the week after that, Andrew's going to come in and share with us how we ought to be just expecting movement in our life, that we were created to move. God wants to see growth and maturity in our life. And so we want to flee from living in complacency. And then I'll be back up to wrap up the series with this value of living generously rather than hoarding things. You see, values matter. They're the things that we live out of. I don't watch a lot of TV, but sometimes I'll occasionally get captivated by something. And early this year in January, Fox did this series called Deputy. And from the first night of the series, I was captured by what was happening. You see, Bill Hollister was a sergeant deputy sheriff. And because of some unexpected events, he becomes the acting sheriff. And he went from being in the trench of day-to-day caring and protection of his county to having to step into leadership. And throughout the whole series, it is a tension between the trench and bureaucracy. And I'm sitting on the edge of my couch, just leaning in week after week after week, knowing that we all live in that tension of real life and this idea of perfect life. And how do we respond in those moments? Let's lean in and look and see what Jesus does to respond there. Look at John chapter 13. It's page 84 in the John Journaling Bibles. And as you turn to there, I want to kind of set us up with an overview of where we're at. In John chapter 13, we're going to see that Jesus shares about an engaging love. You might say that he models for us an engaging love, but I would caution you in saying that he models it because it's just who Jesus is. We see in John 13 that he washes the disciples' feet. It's who Jesus is. He's a servant leader. And he's going to pave way to this conversation by sharing about what engaging love looks like. And then he's going to go on in John 14 through 16, and he's going to give an engaging farewell to his disciples, other followers, and those that are listening in to his teaching. And then in John chapter 17, he gives this engaging prayer. I would like to encourage you sometime this week to find time to read John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 in one setting. This is some of the most intimate words that you're going to hear from Jesus as Savior and Lord. Many would call this the farewell discourse. And let's lean in and listen to these intimate words that Jesus offers us. We're going to pick it up in John chapter 13, verse 31. He writes, "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once.'" As we look at this text, you can't help but see the word glory in there. This verse, the parts where Jesus is speaking, there's 31 words in our English translation. 14 of those words are made up of this glorified, the idea of God and Jesus. The other 17 words are only there to connect those three key ideas: glory, Father, Son. If you and I want to be engaged in the world that we live, then we need to lean in and seek the glory of God. And God says we're going to see his glory when we see God. But we're really going to see his glory when we take a look at Jesus. And putting this into context, Jesus in John chapter 17 is going to say, there is one coming, the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we live in an engaging relationship with them, we get to taste and see the glory of God. But that glory isn't just for us, it is for everyone. So the text goes on in verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." You'll notice in that text, little children. This is really a term of endearment, of Jesus nurturing and caring for the disciples. They're clearly not of the age of children. And yet what he's saying is, little children, I'm here to nurture, to care for you. So it's a statement of clarity, but it's also a statement of comfort. We recognize that Jesus is clearly saying, hey, I'm going to care for you and nurture you. But we also have to be reminded that children had no status. They didn't have rights. But Jesus is saying, hey, you don't have to know everything to follow me. There's actually going to be some unknowns. You see it in the text. Where I am going, you cannot come. That's going to create some confusion. But Jesus is here to say, just because the future in front of you is unknown, doesn't mean I don't have the values to help you walk into the unknown wisely. The question is will you and I lean into the reality of being little children? Will we listen to Jesus as a Lord and a Savior who wants to nurture us? Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. When you see this text, I would do everything you can to highlight it, to circle it, to put a star beside it, because this is pinnacle here. A new commandment. In the scripture, when you see the word new, sometimes it's just a new, like a new house. You had one house and you got a new house. You can tell that they're both houses. But other times in scripture, the word new is really transformative. And here this word is transformative, that there is a new commandment, maybe more of an identity shift. If you've read in science, looked in science, we've all been taught the idea of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Something like this no longer looks like that. It's this new transformative identity. And Jesus says, there's a new commandment that I'm going to give to you, that you would love one another. The problem is when you look at this at a glance, that's not really new. If you get into the reality of the Old Testament, you go, well, that was commanded over and over, that you would love one another. But what we're going to see in this text that's transformative is how we love one another. Do you see what Jesus says? He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Jesus is both reaching back to the experiences he's already had with the disciples and the way that he has shown them love, not just love for them, but love for all people. But he's also reaching forward of how he's going to love all people. I want to just help us. The Gospel of John spends a lot of time teaching us about the sacrificial, the transformational type of love that Jesus offers us. We're going to quickly just walk through to give us a frame of reference of what type of love brings about this new transformative commandment. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Look again at this next verse. John 10 says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus is leaning into a sacrificial love. And this next verse, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There's going to need to be some transformation that happens inside of us to receive a promise, but it keeps going. John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's a sense of trusting Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord, one whom has authority, one that we can lean into even when we don't feel like it. And then there's John 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You see, we want to live out of our values. Because let's be honest, being engaged isn't something that we do well as humans. If you ask me on my best day what this looks like, I might tell you that on my best day, I love those who love me, love my family, care about the things I care about, and if they hurt me, I'll forgive them and love them. But what about on my worst days? Or maybe even just my good days. The days when you hurt my family, my faith, my finances, my way of living. It's in that place that Tyler Myers doesn't respond well, and he better lean into a set of values that are going to come out of him. Not because of who I am, but because of this work that Jesus is doing in me. You see, we can be passive on our own accord. We can love people and they do something wrong to us and we just overlook it, but that doesn't transform anything. What happens is when we live out of a set of values where we see an engaging type of love, one where Jesus would say, be sacrificial, do something new that you've never done, do it out of an identity that I give you. Well, that's when we start to know what engagement looks like. That's when we get to know the joys of what Jesus is really doing inside of us. You see that Jesus offers sacrificial love, but he does it for a purpose. We don't just love one another to love one another. Yeah, that's really helpful, but there's something more to it. Look at verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Look into this verse. All people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I didn't do well in sixth grade Spanish class. I don't speak Spanish well at all. I certainly don't roll my R's well. If you hang around me long enough, you might even ask if I speak English very well. I just don't do this linguistic thing well. But praise God, he offers a multilingual option for those of us who are linguistically impaired. And he says there's a language that everybody's going to recognize, and it is this transformational love, this sacrificial love that Jesus offers. And when you and I live out of engaging love, it says that all people are drawn to that. Everybody deserves access to Jesus, and the way they find access is how? Well, my disciples. You see, when you and I engage in the love of Jesus, we provide direction. And so all people deserve access to Jesus. The followers of Jesus provide direction to this, and the connection between access and direction is right here. If you have love for one another. When people see that we love like Jesus loves, they start to see the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John says it this way as we've been reading, but Matthew writes about it this way when recording Jesus' words. Matthew says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Some of us, as followers of Jesus, for some reason, we've thought that we need to love softly. No. Jesus's love is not passive. There's way more. It's very, very engaging. I would highly recommend that many of us as followers of Jesus need to speak more softly, but we need to love more loudly, more boldly. John tells us one way, Matthew tells us another way, and it's not a passive way. You are the light of the world. You were created on purpose. You have value and you have responsibility as one whom is being made new in Christ. And you don't passively sit in that identity. You actively and engagingly share that light. And we do that best when we learn to sacrificially love one another. We all live out of a set of values. And the reality is that we need to be engaged with those values. And Jesus would say we need to be engaged in a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we would see God's glory and we would help other people see that glory. You see, shallow engagement and shallow love often hold close company together. If we want to love boldly, we have to engage boldly. I think one of the major reasons why I'm so drawn into Bill Hollister in the Deputy series on Fox is because he's left in this tension between the trench of real life in which he gets to be in the thick of engaging people. And he's thrust into the responsibilities of bureaucracy and how to handle that well. And I love to see what that tension looks like. Jesus had that tension. If you want to read through your Gospels, Jesus and politics, they didn't play well together. Jesus never tries to thrust himself into that realm. Matter of fact, he takes a big step back because Jesus and politics didn't play well together, but Jesus and people did play well together. Why? Because Jesus chose to sacrificially love others, one another's. And it's a deep tension in my life of how do I set my preferences aside and live out of this engaging love for other people. You see, this message is not a message to give you answers. I don't know exactly what to tell you to take your next step in doing with being engaged with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of unknowns in front of you. There's a lot of unknowns in front of me, but this I would suggest to you. As Jesus suggested to his disciples as they walked into the unknown, he says, your values are going to be tested. But the best way you're going to be in the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and for other people to see the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is for you to live in this new commandment, to live out of a new set of values, a transformed set of values, and to be engaging with all people in the sacrificial love of one another. And so Jesus gives us some really intimate words. Will we be his little children? And will we listen in and allow him to reshape our values? Because we all know that living out of our values is a much wiser option than living out of our gut. Let's lean in and think about what that might look like to follow Jesus in that way.